Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
From outside 50, Milne's a target. And this young boy, Nick Riewoldt, on the stretch.
He looks good, he moves well.
Looks all class. Number one pick in the AFL draft.
He's got one now.
Kicks a goal. He's first in AFL football.
35 games later, Nick Riewoldt will probably play his last game, certainly if the Tigers go on to win. So we look forward to chatting with Nick Riewoldt's wife, Catherine, at halftime. Got a big game of footy here. Win, lose or draw, Adelaide can't lose top spot. The Tigers play for a third-place finish in a qualifying final against the Cats, who were dominant last night against the Giants. Bombers playing for a win and a spot in the finals. Buddy goes bang with 10, but may have won also his fourth Coleman medal. Melbourne precariously placed. They will watch closely as West Coast, if they go on and beat the Adelaide Crows by 3 goals, then West Coast slide into the 8 and Melbourne miss the finals. And of course, we've got the big one. It's the biggest boxing match in the history of boxing. Floyd Mayweather taking on Conor McGregor. As we work our way around the box, the pugilist amongst us all, he'll have a close eye on this. He's done it. He's met Mike Tyson, and he's played a fair bit of footy back in his day. Wayne Carey, welcome, Duck.
G'day, Swatter, gentlemen, listeners. Good to be here, Swatter. As you just summed up beautifully, this isn't a dead rubber. Plenty to be played out still in the last few games on this beautiful Sunday. And you're right, what a fight. And you know what? You wouldn't want to be anywhere else other than here, would you?
I don't believe that.
As long as the tally's on, is that what you're saying?
No, you wouldn't want to be with your mates anywhere, sitting around in a beer garden or anything like that, would you?
Nice of you to join us, Roosie. I believe your right arm's a bit sore. You've done a lot of book signing this week.
Yeah, no, the book came out, which we'll touch on later in Roosie's story. I'll give you a couple of stories out of the book.
So we'll get a copy each.
Yes, I will be giving you a copy, signed copy. Yes, absolutely. Oh. No, I was at the SCG yesterday. It wasn't a great game, but the fans were terrific. Sitting outside in a tent there signing.
Beautiful day up there in Sydney, wasn't
it? Was a magnificent day, yeah. Got to catch up with my son, who's up there. Tyler had breakfast, because, you know, when you're paying for brekkie, Swatty, you get the phone call. So, yeah, Dad, are you coming up to Sydney? Yeah, can you take me out to brekkie?
Smash avocado. It
was massive. Yeah. Everything, and then rang me because we'd late flight back 10 o'clock. He said, Dad, what do you want to do for dinner? So, down the massive dinner. So I think it's the first time he's eaten for a week.
Very good. As we welcome Jay Clark, welcome Jay Z.
Hello, Schwartz. Geez, I was disappointed in Melbourne yesterday. We're going to touch on that later. That first quarter, so many broken tackles and missed kicks. I reckon it was just a classic case of choke or stage fright. Just mentally, the Demons weren't on their game. Part of their maturing process, Schwatter.
It is indeed for McDonald's Triple M Rocks footy. Nathan Brown will slide into the broadcast a little bit later on to help call the action. A big preview coming up. Andrew Mackey retiring Catalan with Tommy Lonergan last night at the Cattery. We'll have a chat with him in the next seg. Roosie's story, of course. Jay-Z with plenty of news. Aaron Hamill to join us, St Kilda's forward coach, to talk about their chances today, but also the outgoing Nick Riewoldt. What a player he's been. Josh Caddy from the Tigers, and we have Jay-Z's big three. Clarkie, it's a big game. A big game yesterday for Melbourne, they failed. A big game last night for the Giants, they failed. It's an equally big game for the Tigers, because should they win today, they lock in third place. And we're not sure, but we think that if the Tigers do that, they'll come back here to the G and take on the Cats in a qualifying final.
You would think so. So Geelong are going to play next week, either against GWS at home or most likely against Richmond up here at the MCG, Roosie. But I just wonder, like, after seeing Melbourne yesterday sort of capitulate really in that first quarter, what sort of atmosphere environment would you be wanting down in the rooms at the moment? Would you be trying to bring the boys up, as in the Tiger guys, or try and compose them and keep them calm? I'm interested in what sort of tone you'd want down in the rooms in the minute.
Yeah, look, you're reading them all week. That's what Dimmer would have been doing. Reading them all week. Obviously, now they know what's in front of them, but they've probably been preparing for that all week. Win and we're top four. They go to three. This is even a bigger game now that Geelong has beaten Giants, because this could be staying in Melbourne, playing at the MCG on your home ground against the second team in Geelong. Mm. So I think what Dimmer would be doing is reading the group all week, seeing whether they need a bit of a lift, seeing whether they're actually a little bit too high or whatever. Coming to the ground, you tend to let the players be, because you don't want anything that you do as a coach to negatively impact the player group. And then just reinforce why they're here, why they're good enough to beat St Kilda today. I think they will reflect on the last time, Duck, that they played St Kilda. Yep. Because that's a little motivating factor that Dimmer would want to pull out of you. It doesn't always work, and it doesn't necessarily mean the results. But I think it's one of those coaches' trick things you bring out. Boys, we were 60-odd points down. We were terrible against. You know, and that maybe sparks a little bit more of a reaction. But overall, want to remain calm, want to talk about the things forward half, tackling, small forwards. Probably going to get to Dusty, Koch, Jack Riewoldt, Rance, some of your key leaders, Duck, and just how the boys feeling, how's everything going. Just do what you have to do, boys. Just reinforcing to those guys what they need to do as well.
It really is, I think, in terms of their preparation, given Richmond, you know, we know they didn't play finals last year, played finals the 3 years prior to that, didn't win a final. It's almost to prepare like this is a final.
Yep.
That's the preparation that I would, personally, I would be going about it in that manner, saying, okay, well, we're starting a week early for finals. That's how you prepare. You get yourself that aroused and that up and about that this is a final for us. We win this. We sit here. We're back at the MCG. We get a week off and then we go again.
I think what's changed too, Duck, a bit now, and Swatter, you can weigh on this. I think generally when you're going into the finals 5, 10 years ago, probably 10 years ago, pre the expansion teams, most of your team was pretty senior. Most of your team was actually pretty. Now it's very different. And you touched on Melbourne before. There's a lot of players now playing finals that are very young players. Yeah. You look at the Richmond team, they're forward half with their smalls. Mm. Very young players.
Young.
Yeah. So there's a lot more responsibility that lies on the coach in terms of reading the group, senior players in terms of helping those young boys. I would think Jack Riewoldt's pivotal in talking to Castagna and Butler and those young Rioli around what to expect and playing your role.
Would you say, given that if Dimmer approached it like that, Swatter, this is a final for us, must win, and those guys, and let's say we don't know what's going to happen today, but let's say a couple of those young guys go out there today and don't have their best game, Swatter, well, they sort of almost know then, come finals, irrespective of the result or how they play, they go, okay, well, this is what I did. I got myself too hyped up. I did this wrong. I played the game too many times from ahead or whatever it was. So for me to mentally be in that zone today for them, I reckon is really important in 2 weeks' time, irrespective of what happens.
Yeah. I agree. I think one of the challenges, and this is the unknown quality or ability of a coach, though, is that up until today, Richmond have known that they were going to play finals. But now they know if we win, it's a third place finish, we take on Geelong. How do they manage the anxiety? How do they manage the expectation? Geez, if we win, it's a third place, double chance, home final effectively. Or if we lose, we slide down to sixth. So really, the coach's responsibility, I would imagine, Roosy, is to keep it as close to as what it's been like every single week. Don't overplay the situation. Yeah, they know. They're smart enough to know what's at stake.
Most.
But yeah, most are. But keeping the balance. If some guys are amped up and that's how they've been each week, keep them at that. And if there are other guys that are nice and quiet, your job's just to manage the mood within the room. So, like Duck said, they stay in the zone without expending too much energy. Because you go into a game of footy and you've expended too much energy, mate, you're no good.
I think the other thing too on that is, because what Duck's saying is right, today's a little bit of trial and error for some of those kids.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And I think quarter time, half time, three-quarter time is always important, but becomes more important today. More important for the coaches in the box to read the kid that's maybe a little bit hyped up, to be able to send the message out to him, Castagna, whoever it is, Rioli, settle down. So I think it's more important for the coaches. It's important every week, but I think today is a real visual day for the coaches to read those. Who has misjudged the warm-up? Who has got there too early? Who's been hyped up too much? Because you'll see it in the game, and you can still have an impact on the players during the game. I think the individual messages for the Richmond coaches to the players, Dimmer's message and the other coaches at quarter time, half time and three quarter time is fundamental in shaping how they end up for the game. It's not as important as how they start, but it's really important how they end up.
Yep. So right now, Roosie, what would you be asking of your players in terms of, would it just be simple as, mate, how are you feeling? How are you going today? You know, clarifying your role. Like, what will you actually...
Yeah, well, generally, I can't speak for the other coaches, but generally, once they warm up, I'll speak to every single player.
Yep.
And in that manner, Duck, how are you going, mate? Play your role. You've been really good at doing this. You don't need to do anything else. And then if I see something, mate, you're right. It's fine, mate. Don't worry about it. Everything will be okay. So I spoke to every single player in the lead-up to the game within that hour and a half of you know, some I'd speak when they were getting the massage, some I'd have to pull the headphones off, some were kicking the balls, et cetera, et cetera. So making sure, and that's when you can read them a little bit, calm them down or say, geez, you're a bit flat today. No, no, I'm all right. You know, get them up. So it's really important.
On Friday, I listened to Nick Riewoldt speak at a function, and he said he would often vomit, you know, half-time, pre-game, be so wound up, so tense. Even for a guy who'd played 200 games, would be vomiting pre-game. He'd just feel so anxious, and that's an absolute champion.
I reckon some of his opponents would have vomited too. They were vomiting at quarter-time, half-time, and three-quarter-time, and after the game, they worked that hard.
Looking forward to having a chat with Nick's beautiful wife, Catherine, at half-time. She'll join us in the Triple M commentary box. Geelong win, and comprehensively.
Yep.
The question mark, Jay-Z, they are a top two finishing team. They've earned the right for a home final, but they may not get that opportunity at Simmons Stadium.
No, I think if they're going to get a crowd of 90 to 95,000, really, against Richmond, it's fair enough that it should be up here. I think what Geelong want is consistency right across the competition. So, for example, if Greater Western Sydney, book a big final, then they should maybe play that at SCG to cater for the bigger fan base. But as we saw last year, they played at Spotless against the Bulldogs and in the preliminary final. So in Geelong's case, they've been pretty quiet on this point. In fact, let's have a listen to Chris Scott about what he said last night in regards to where this game should be played.
There's been a little bit of commentary around where teams play their home game, and we have driven that to some extent. I think this argument is completely different, but I think it's a good debate for the industry to have. From our position, we're not going to contribute to that debate. We respect that the AFL decides where those games are played, and they, I'm sure, will justify their decisions in detail. So if the AFL ring us on Sunday afternoon and say, hey, the game's at Newtown, we'll be there.
Just has to be the home state, not necessarily the home ground. So I think Geelong in 2011 and 2016 played Hawthorn in a similar situation and played them up here. It would be ridiculous, fellas, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If you were going to get 95,000 people to a ground to have it at Geelong. Wouldn't you, Roosie? You're shaking your head.
Well, for that reason alone, you just want the Tigers to win today, don't you? I mean, that'll be magnificent. You're right, it'll be 90,000.
I understand the debate around it, and as Scotty said, it's a good debate to have, but it's not one you're going to win, I can assure you.
What do you mean the AFL will...
Well, we talk about integrity in the game. There is no integrity unless the AFL... And I say that with respect. There's no integrity in the game unless the AFL drives the integrity of the game. We saw Clarko put on the table how the coaches felt about the bye. Then we saw Gill come out and said, oh, well, hang on, I spoke to him privately. There's no doubt, and I'm not a fan of the bye, but what I'm saying is there's no doubt that the bye suits the top eight and takes away some of the advantage of the top four. Mm. Unequivocally.
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 Yeah.
So if the AFL want something to happen, they will make it happen. And if they want to talk about integrity, they'll talk about integrity. So there's no way known Geelong are going to play, if they do, there's no way known Geelong are going to play Richmond at Skilled Stadium.
While we're on that, and Clarko and the AFL, I 100% agree that it takes the absolute advantage out of that top four. But why have a top eight if you can't basically win it from outside the top eight like we did last year because we had the bye? That's why we have a top eight, to give every team a chance to win the premiership. Now we're giving the bottom four of the eight a chance to win the premiership. So the bye, by the way, the players love the bye. Every Port Adelaide players, Bruce McAvaney caught up and had dinner with four or five of them the other week. They all said, oh, the bye, best thing ever. The players, the players love it. I'm telling you, the players that are sore and going into a finals campaign, love it.
Oh, he's got the finger out to accentuate the point, Jay-Z.
I don't have sort a point.
This is duck time.
I'm telling you who's loving it right now.
Yeah.
Joel Selwood is absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
Merritt, absolutely loving it. Fantasia, absolutely loving it.
Because it suits them now.
No, because what we want, if the bye's not there and we go straight into the final shot, then all of those players that I just mentioned don't play.
Yeah.
Do we want the best quality game so that all of those players have the ability to get up? If the bye didn't happen last year and the Bulldogs go over to Perth, five of those players don't play, they get flogged, and the quality of the game's putrid. We had quality football, quality finals. The level of the finals last year went to a whole new level.
So you want the buy to stay?
100%.
Ruzzi?
No, because my view is it's a war of attrition. My view is the season is a war of attrition. And, Duck, I think the opinion is valid, but come out and say if the AFL... We don't really care about the top four. Mm. I had a discussion with, and I won't say it was.
You do get the double chance.
Hang on. I had a discussion with a commissioner, and he asked me about the bye. I said, look, I obviously have an opinion, but do you want to reward the top eight or the top four? He said, we want to reward the top four. I said, well, don't have a bye. Mm. He said, yeah, and then we spoke about it for a while. I said, mate, I'm just telling you, if you want to reward the top four, absolutely, don't have the bye. If you want to take Ducks, and I respect that opinion, have the bye. He said, we want to reward the top four. I said, well, don't have the bye.
Yeah.
So that's my only problem with it, is that's fine. Because for all your arguments, you can't mount an argument against that because the final series was fantastic. But my argument would be, as the coaches are, it's a war of attrition. It's 23 weeks. With all due respect, if Joel gets injured, he gets injured. And I agree with you. I'd rather see Joel play. Mm. But part of getting to these finals and part of winning finals is a war of attrition. We don't have an EPL system where the top team wins it. Now, you could mount an argument for that because over 23 weeks, if you've done it for 23 weeks, it's a pretty good effort. Or my argument is just come out and say we don't care about the top four. We want to equal the finals. We want to have the best players in the competition playing. And we want to make sure that 5, 6, 7, 8 have an absolute chance.
Which
to win.
Which is what Doug said,
yeah. Absolutely. And that's a valid argument.
Should the buy stay or go? At Triple M Footy on Twitter, we'd love to get your thoughts. A yes or a no. Where do you sit on it, Jay?
I think it does disadvantage the top four, to be honest. And potentially that's a bit fair.
They
but
do get
that
the double, they do get the double chance.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can't argue with the standard of footy.
I think the best model, Duck, on that is buy, lose the first week as a top four, and play the next two. So the advantage, the disadvantage becomes if you win that first week. So there's, it just changes.
That's off and I guess we've only got a small, I guess, snippet of what to take that. And if you go off last year, then that certainly was the case because both those sides
lost.
And we don't know whether that's going to be the case this year.
And interestingly, Chris Scott last night said he's going to handle that week off differently. To what they did last year because they won and then both Geelong and GWS won their first final and then lost, didn't they?
It was a dominant performance by the Cats last night. We've got Ruzzi, Duck, Jay-Z, Swatter, 44-point win, and it was dominant. And then after the game, we saw Tommy Lonergan and this man, Andrew Mackie, say a farewell lap of honour to the adoring Cats fans. It caught everybody by surprise, and Andrew Mackie joins us right now. Mac, thanks very much. Well done last night.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Schwatter. Appreciate it.
Hey, when was the... this might sound like a stupid question. When did you and Tom decide that you were going to announce to the playing group and the adoring Cats fans that was possibly your last game at home?
Yeah, probably in the last week. We've spoken about it and how we thought, the best for us, the way to announce it to the group and the fans. And then, given the fact that we get the week off now, really good chance to sign off, I suppose, from the home and away season and let everyone know that that'll be it for at the end of this year. And now we can zero in and focus in on the finals and what we've got to do there. So, look, it worked out well last night. We obviously had a really good win as a team and the fans were all happy and we're playing at home. And we're able to get the boys in and just let them know that that'll be it. And we can move on from here and really put our foot down and see what the rest of the year can bring us.
Hey, well done, buddy. Congratulations last night and what has been a wonderful career. And as you said, still going. Did you look at the other guys? And there's been so many great players and you sit comfortably alongside all of the players that have retired this year. Did you look at that and say, I don't want to do that? Because it really no fanfare at all.
Yeah, I didn't really. I wouldn't feel comfortable sitting down and doing a press conference. I find that... I just get a bit awkward, to be honest. I sometimes wouldn't even know what to say. I think it just fit Tom and I really well. That's how we wanted to do it. Mate, I've been really lucky to play in a club that's had some absolute superstars, that have been able to play alongside. And, for a lot of the journey, I've known where I've sat and all that, I've just been able to play my role and do my thing for the team. And I suppose, you know, I've loved watching all those boys who have retired this year and love watching them go about their work. And, you know, Tom and I are obviously really thankful for everything we've been able to do for the footy club and be a part of the journey over the last, you know, 15-odd years. So, yeah, I think this way was suited us, and we're really happy that, as I said, we were able to get a win. Everyone was happy, and now we can move on to bigger and better things over the next month, hopefully.
Mate, what was the sort of defining moment for you? Was there a moment, a game, or was it more an ongoing conversation in your own head just to sort of work your way through the season and see how you were towards the back end?
Yeah, I think so, Roosie. I went into the year thinking that it'd be my last year of footy, and sort of wanted to probably have that end date. And I think it's always good. I've got really good memories of the footy club. Really want to make sure that I look back on it in a really positive way, and which I do now and love it. And, you know, I'm able to be doing my bit for the team on the weekend, which is also really good. And, yeah, I just didn't want to push it too far where who knows where it ends out. So I'll look back, I'm sure, with really fond memories of the Geelong Footy Club. And as I said, it's a great time to be alive and playing because of what's around the corner. Obviously, this time of year, you know, this is what you do it for. So, you know, potentially we could do some really great things over the next month, and that really excites me. And, yeah, it's just a good time to be part of the Cats.
Mate, fantastic. I mean, guess for you and Tom, if you look back, and Duck touched on it before, it's been an amazing class of retirees this year. But what I congratulate you two boys on not only your total career, but I think two players that really understood exactly their strengths and weaknesses. And I love that as a coach. You love that as a player. You love it when players seem to know exactly what they can and can't do. And when I look, you know, you're slightly different players, but when I look at the similarities between you and Tom, I think you two are the best at understanding exactly what you're good at and understanding perhaps what you're not capable of doing and really playing to your strengths. Was that something that came natural to you, or was that something that the coaches really implored on you?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Rudy. It's a good pick up. I think, you know, when you look at yourself as a footballer, we're really good at looking at what we don't do so well, but it's important to realise what you do bring to the team. And you know, you're spot on. There's things that I would have loved to be good at a number of other things throughout my career, and you know, you try and work at it, but it, you know, sometimes it just doesn't come. You know, I'm not the biggest bloke. You sort of got to try and read the play a bit differently and different situations, how you know, not that big body up player, and probably got to use your head a little bit more. But always, as a player, keep striving to better yourself. But more often than not, I felt like I always went in mentally really well prepared for every game. So what the opposition could possibly do, you know, for example, forward structures, what they could throw at us and how we would rectify that. Always felt like I had a really good gauge on how we could, set up our team and the way we get our structures right in comparison to other teams. And I feel like aside of that people, you know, not, I suppose the onlookers don't necessarily see, but that's something that I've felt like I've prided myself on bringing that to the team every week.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And as I said before, congratulations. Going to last night's game specifically, is that as good as you've played all year? I mean, you dominated contested possession. You know, you were fantastic kicking goals from turnovers. You're able to move the ball 18 marks inside forward 50 against a very, very high quality team. How do you rate that game going into the week off in the finals?
It was a well-rounded performance. I felt we everyone contributed, which is, for us, that's a really good sign. I think we need 22 players who play on the night to you know, bring their A game, and I thought we did that as good as we've done it all year. So when you have a team where we've got some youngsters and you just need that, and they sort of thrive off it, and to their credit, they're the guys who we need to keep coming along to make sure we're a chance, you know, over the next month. If they bring their game up and play like they did last night, which we've shown, they've been able to show recently that they can, then we're going to hold ourselves in good stead. But I felt that around the footy we were really good, and we're able to play the game in our half, so we were able to set up behind that pretty well. And
you know, I think when the Giants are able to move the ball really quick, they're dangerous. So to set the ground up in a way that meant that they couldn't do that was pleasing from our end.
Great to have the outgoing Cat star premiership player Andrew Mackie on the Sunday Rub with Paul Roos, Wayne Carey and Jay Clark.
Andrew, have you ever played in a loss to Richmond? Like, throughout your whole career, have you ever lost to the Tigers?
Oh, Clarky, I don't know.
Struggle to remember one?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I can't really remember, but, yeah, look, it'd be the potential to play them in a couple of weeks would be massive. Obviously, we know the Tiger Army and what they bring to you know, the AFL in general is amazing. We love everything to do with, you know, their supporters. And the fact that we could be playing in a couple of weeks could be a big thing for Melbourne footy fans and lovers. So I'm pretty excited about whatever happens in the next couple of weeks. But obviously, playing against them would be great.
I know there's a debate at the moment, you know, whether it should be played at home at Simmons Stadium, but how much would you relish sort of that opportunity on the MCG? You've obviously been there and done it before in the big games.
Yeah, oh, there's nothing better than playing at the MCG in September in front of, you know, that'd be a massive crowd. So, yeah, it gets definitely gets the hairs on your neck tingling thinking about it. It's a different ball game, the finals, and, you know, being lucky enough to be part of it quite a few times and never taking it for granted. So, yeah, as I said, the Tiger Army, what they bring, I think it's great for footy in general. So to be the potential to play against them would be great. And wherever we play them, obviously, we'd come along and really enjoy that match-up.
And, Truck, for all the great highs you've had in your career, and there's been so many of them, but how was it, if you were writing a book for your autobiography, how would you reflect on 2010 and Mark Thompson coming up and telling you that you're not in the preliminary final team against Collingwood? How much did that shape sort of the past 6 years of your career?
It definitely has. I'm not quite sure. I don't think I'll be writing a book, but it definitely has helped shape me in the fact that, like I said, the reason for, I've always tried to keep developing my game. That was probably just a reminder that you know, you're not settled for, that this AFL game is tough, and I suppose I didn't take it for granted, but you just have to keep evolving as a player, because when someone knows how you play and opposition players know how you play, you've got to keep evolving, otherwise they can put time into you and work you out pretty quickly. So, yeah, you got to keep expanding and make sure you're getting better at other things, and so that whatever they throw at you, you feel like you can actually come back at them. So that's probably the way I'd look at it. It's been able to perspective check and then realise that you've actually got to keep evolving as a player.
And lastly, mate, Gary Ablett, how much would you like to see him in blue and white hoops next season?
Yeah, obviously as a Cat supporter, it'd be great to see him running around. I'm not sure how all that's going to play out. Obviously, there's plenty going on. And
he'll get the deal done, Wellesley.
Yeah, he's got plenty going on, Wellesley. But, it's an interesting one, but I think as any Cats lover, I think they're getting a bit excited about the fact that Gary might be able to come back.
Hey, Mac, just before we let you go, you're famous for your sledge. Is there one favourite that comes to mind over 277-odd games?
Oh, it's been a bit overrated, the sledging stuff. I get asked it all the time. I was a bit stiff. I gave Lloyd a bit of a sledge and Luke Darcy when I finished, and then they went straight in the media. So all of a sudden, I've been going at it forever. But I've been pretty quiet lately. But
can I ask you this one? This is the one I've heard.
Yeah.
North Melbourne at Cadinia Park, and I don't know who you said this to, but one of your teammates. Do we really get 4 points for beating these blokes?
Yeah.
Is that true or not true?
It's true. Yeah, that's true.
Hey, you've been a star, Mac. We appreciate you coming on. A great performance last night. The real season starts again. You've been there before. We wish you well for the final series, and we just want to take the opportunity on behalf of all of the football fans around the country. Well played, mate. You've been a star for a long time.
Good on you guys. Appreciate it.
We're about to jump into Roosie's short story very shortly. Before we do that, though, an important game for the Bombers thanks to Nearmap aerial imagery, Jay.
And it's the Bombers up by 14 points with 2 minutes left to go in the first quarter as Fremantle kick a goal to reduce the lead to 8 points. But I understand there was some drama before the bounce. Cale Hooker was a late change, and Ducks just getting some mail through that there was some confusion over who would actually replace Cale Hooker.
Yeah, well, apparently, you know, 20 minutes before the game, Sean McKernan was told that he was playing.
Yeah, forward for a forward,
yes,
makes sense.
Yes, so, and then on his way up the race, so dressed.
So about to go on.
So 20 minutes, had to get dressed, all ready to go.
In the zone.
Walking up the race,
yep.
And was told, no, you're no longer playing.
Oh, dear.
And Hocking was told to get ready and
now
you're playing.
You bring in a forward, but then you take the second forward out to bring in a tagger to go against the team who's beaten by 100 points in the last 2 weeks twice.
How flat would Shawnee McKernan be, Doug?
If he's sitting here listening now, because he's probably cracked the brazen bits and he's on his way home, Corny's manager, McGurkin, put the nice music on, put the slippers on, get the pipe out and the elbow patches, and it's time now to enjoy this.
Gather round, boys and girls.
Because I'm a bad boy.
It's story time with Bruzy.
A bad boy for love.
Bruzy?
Is that on the new... listening.
He was enjoying his listening.
No, because what I was thinking, I was just wondering whether that song's on the new...
iTunes?
Triple M album you talked about.
No doubt about the vinyl. Sure it's been edited
It'd have to be put on there, wouldn't it?
No doubt.
Now, today is a genuine story time because I'm going to read my book front to back, so sit
How
down.
How many pages?
It's 308 pages. We
better
want to do that or not? We got enough time. Duck, you want to watch the fight and the game.
I'd be more than happy for you to do that.
So, I talked about the book all year. So, boys, it's coming out tomorrow. It's called Here It Is on Coaching, Leadership and Life. So it is more.
Where do people go to get it?
All the really good bookstores, and actually great. Swans were good yesterday, did a signing. Yes, they've got some signings coming up during the week as well. But look, it's more around the leadership and culture that we created at Sydney, and obviously things we tried to do at Melbourne. But I think one of the fascinating things, which, because often when you write a book, it's not that fascinating to yourself, Duck.
No.
But it is one of the great things was actually I found the original PowerPoint presentation that I made to the board back at the end of 2002. Really good friend of mine, Anthony Carl, who was the IT guy at the Swans. I rang Carl, he's still there now, and I said, mate, I'm doing a book, it's on leadership and culture, and I said, have you still got that presentation? And I hadn't seen it, you know, basically since that day, and obviously the coming year, just setting up what we wanted to do. So that's part of the book, and it's got all the slides in it. And even for me, looking back on it at the time, because it's easy for people to say, oh, you know, you talk about these things now, but you've already achieved them. So looking back at the time and some of the slides talking about excellence and being united as a group, on the first slide, I guess it says, my aim is to inspire, teach and lead the Sydney Swans to become winners. So things like that were really, it was actually quite emotional looking back on it and seeing what, you know, encouraged, talking about confidentiality, Jay-Z, keep things in-house, controlled access to the media, that sort of stuff. So all those sort of things are in there, which hopefully, you know, is fascinating reading, not only for the Swans fans and Melbourne fans, but also for football fans and leaders in general. The other thing, Swatter, is about the 25 points that I wrote down.
The famous list.
Yes, I wrote them down, and the reason I did is, as we know, I think coaches tend to, the more they get away from playing, the less empathy they have for players because they forget what it was like to be a player. So I didn't ever want to forget what it was to be like. I didn't think I'd coach at the end of 98 when I retired, but in October 98 I wrote down the 25 point list, and that's all in there, and also a little bit of an explanation about where it came from, and one of them was never fly off the handle after a game. If you've got nothing to say, you know, don't be too emotional. And Duck and Swat, I weigh on this, I think we've seen coaches go nuts after the game, and that was a really pivotal point, I think, because relationships get broken in those moments. It's very hard to take back those words once they've got out of your mouth. And the other thing, as we've all seen, once a coach gets going, you're in my eye shot, and then Swatter becomes in my eye shot, and then someone else comes in the eye, and then it's just absolute carnage as the coach goes through it. So hopefully there's a lot of good tips in there, Jay-Z.
Johnny Blakey must have sat there as your assistant and... been going, wow, how cool is this guy in comparison to the coach I had? Because Pago would go through every player after every game.
cook them.
And well, if you didn't play well, you got to cook. It was but every single game individually would go through
apart from one bloke.
And then you'd but not only that, he would then write up a list and he would put it up so when you walked in on the Monday morning, it would also be there for everyone to read.
So you could tell the blokes that had played well because they came in quick enough. And then someone else is just sheepdogging. Yeah. Oh, no, that looks
no
bad.
No one goes up to read, but there for everyone to read. So the dietitian, the boot starter, everyone could read what Pago thought of you that week. So not only would he cook you there, that he'd do that. So it's very interesting to, the modern day coach. And I always thought, Roosy, watching you from afar as a coach, I guess you were the first coach that I watched from afar and thought that you would just always look measured. I always used to say you look cool. You know, it just you never look flustered. And even some of the younger coaches now that started out that way, Schwatter, you can see that they eventually get some. You know what I mean? But he was able to maintain that coolness all the way through. And even Goody now, Goody sort of started out, but I saw him a little bit in the box yesterday, and you can just see it eventually gets some fodder.
I've always wondered how hard that was for you, Roosie, after the last Melbourne game. You know, down in Geelong where they got destroyed by 100 points. And, I mean, I was sort of really disappointed on your behalf because it was your farewell day and they just absolutely capitulated. And how, because I saw you in the rooms and, you were, you know, quite silent and kept yourself talking to Peter Jackson. How hard that must have been to resist the temptation to tear strips off him, I guess.
Good point, because it was sort of the ultimate challenge, never coaching again, disappointment. And I think, as you said, I'd spent a lot of time, players went in and Peter said, "Are you going to talk to him?" I said, "No, not yet." I think I might have even done the press conference. I can't remember. Came back and I said, "Yeah, look, I think it's important." So really all I said was, I actually mentioned it. I said, "Guys, look, you know, part of my rules were not to get too emotional after game. I think we're all disappointed. You know, I'll catch up with you guys at the best and fairest." And I think that was the key moments, Duck, because what you touched on is it's hard to hold yourself accountable. And I think what those 25 points actually did was hold me accountable. I put him in my desk at Sydney, took him out when I started coaching Melbourne. It held me accountable to what I believed in, and it didn't allow me to go. And then, look, I wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. There's some vision, I think, a Collingwood game where I threw a piece of paper down. But one of them was, you know, don't verbally abuse at quarter time, half time, three quarter time. You know, be specific with what your team. So what that allowed you to do was try and take you back in those moments to really what the players wanted. The players don't necessarily want you yelling at them. They want to know, well, what are we actually doing wrong and how do we fix it? So, yeah, look, it's emotional. It's hard to continue to do and it's hard to do, but it certainly kept me accountable to what I believe was, you know, the players wanted to hear and see and do.
So it's available tomorrow?
Yeah, available tomorrow. It's in stores now, but available tomorrow. And, hopefully it's a good read coming into Father's Day.
And we've got a little signed copy coming around the box today.
Absolutely. I've got some signed copies for you, Blakes.
Nicely done, Roosie. Very nicely done. The title of the book is Here It Is. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Ducky Boy was doing a preview in the studio. We were on the road in beautiful Tasmania. And we threw to Dutt for around the grounds, and this is how it played out.
Around the grounds, near map aerial imagery on the Sunday Rub. Big game, Duck.
Yes, Melbourne by 34 points. No, the Saints have actually just kicked the goal. So 28-point lead to Melbourne.
How far into that game, please?
We've got 3 minutes and 44 seconds to go in the second term.
Duck.
Howie, I might have just been watching a replay. It's actually...
34.
It's 34 points.
Oh, boy. Well, a week out from the finals, Jay, we came together as a team, Roosie, and we said, what do we do with the kid? We can't just banish him to the Magoos. So we've decided that a week before the finals, we'll give Duck another go. Just take us around the grounds, Duck. The Bombers are taking on Freo.
Yeah, Essendon 39, Freo 19. 20-point lead to the Bombers with 17 and a half minutes to go in the second quarter.
Very nicely done. This is the Sunday Rub with Duck, Roosie, Jay-Z and Swatter. Nath Brown will slide in and call the action today. Mickey Roberts will join us a little bit later on. For McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy. What's happening from a news point of view, Jay?
Well, Jell Selwood's going to be a big issue over the next week or two, Schwatter, because he's in a race against time to be fit for the first final, the qualifying final, which could be against GWS or Richmond, depending on results today. Now, I always understand it, he had a little training session today, and his goal is to do some competitive training or a decent run next weekend. So that would be an extraordinary result if he can train at the weekend, Roosie, and then possibly play in that first final. Of course, he had surgery on an ankle syndesmosis injury. That would be the best possible result, that he would come back and play in that first final. Otherwise, they win. He maybe comes in and steps in for that preliminary final. But it would be basically like Tom Liberatore last year, medical miracle, if he can get up and train this weekend and play the following weekend. And you'd imagine either way he'd be able to cope with the tempo. I mean, he might have a jab bruise or something like that.
My understanding with it is that Libba, Swatter, that amount of time, it's not actually properly healed at that time. Yep. So Libba, it's just, well, look, there's luck involved that Libba didn't re-injure it.
Swatter. Doesn't go again.
It doesn't go again. So, look, if anyone's going to try to do it, he's going to. We have no doubt that he'll try to. Try to get up.
I think the difference is, and medically, I mean, we're not close enough to it to make a medical call, so we're just making a commentary on Libba versus Selwood. Theirs was a knockout situation, wasn't it? So they had to win. They had to keep. The Geelong situation's different. So they're going to finish second.
Yep.
So they're going to have a double chance. I think will play a part in it. The fact that for that reason, Duck, that you said, you know, in Libba's case, if you redo it, you've still got X amount of time to, you know, to even have another operation before next year. You win, you go through, you lose, you're done. In Geelong's situation, you know you're playing the following week. Does another week make a big difference? If they win, you get another 2 weeks. You know, so it's a big debate, I think, and a different debate in some ways to the Libba one.
And last year, Mark Murphy had the same injury, didn't have surgery, and he basically missed the whole season. So it is a quite a serious ankle injury.
Yeah.
I think we'll have the helicopters again hovering above Simmons Stadium to try and keep track of Joel Selwood as he presses for his fitness. Jesse Hogan's the other unfortunate one, off with a hamstring injury in that second quarter of the loss yesterday. Of course, that means Melbourne's one down in the rotations and really hurt them. Now, Melbourne are hopeful it's just a nerve issue or an awareness, a tightening, and that he could play potentially in, say, 2 weeks if they are to maintain that final spot. Of course, a normal hamstring's 3 to 4 weeks, but Melbourne confident or hopeful at this stage that it isn't as serious. And the next issue, of course, is Dustin Martin. So Richmond obviously playing their last final home and away game today, and then he will head to New Zealand to catch up with his father, Shane, of course, who lives in New Zealand. Now, the expectation from everyone around him at the moment is that he is poised to make a decision on his future, potentially over the next 72-plus hours in consultation.
What you
got, Sean? Certainly Richmond are very confident that they can look after Dusty Martin enough in his post-career with some ASAs, you know, different sort of business arrangements to help make up the $3 million shortfall that, in fact, he would get in the bigger North Melbourne offer. So, look, I would have thought that he would still stay at Richmond, but some people certainly saying that the Martin family are quite conscious of the extra money he can earn at North Melbourne in the short term. And, of course, the conversation also going along that Jack Zeeble and potentially even Robbie Tarrant caught up with Dustin Martin, say, about 6 weeks ago. His coach, Damien Hardwick, was asked about that aspect on Friday.
I think we're all big boys these days. I think we've got a fair understanding this thing happens all the time. And, you know, North aren't the first to do it. We've certainly done it a number of times. But is it something that probably, as AFL clubs, we'd lean to? Probably not. But it's part and parcel of our industry at the moment. And so if you're not in it, you're not involved. So we've got to make sure that, you know, we're like other clubs. We'll entertain players and they'll entertain our players.
Roosie, whatever happens today, if you're Damien Hardwick or Brennan Gale, just before Dusty jets out to New Zealand, do you look to have a chat with him, catch up with him at any point?
I mean, they've obviously been really patient. They've handled it well. It hasn't affected Dustin's form at this stage. So my view would be, yeah, let it go. I would be going the other way. I'd be saying, Dustin, we don't want to know now. Unless it's us, I mean, it probably tells you either way.
Yeah.
But if it's going to be Richmond, tell us on Monday. If it's not, and you need more time, take more time.
Don't make it.
Because, I just don't think you want to make it an issue. I mean, it's been an issue, but it's been well handled. I just hate to see Richmond's season get derailed by something, you know, that's obviously going to be a massive, massive story. They've waited this long. I would encourage them to wait longer if need be.
It's an extraordinary amount of money, isn't it?
What would you do? Well, if he asked you, Duck, what should I do? Give up $3 million, leave it on the shelf, or stay home at Richmond? What do you reckon?
Look, for Dusty's footy, I think the best place for him is Richmond. I mean, he's one of best and fairest there. They've had him since a kid, Schwatter. They know him. They know the ins and outs. Even to the point, you know, they've got a setup where he can go and see his dad, all that sort of stuff. So that stuff's already arranged. You go to a whole new club, and all of those conversations, they change. Dusty's got to create new, new relationships with everyone, with the players, with the coaches, with everyone else, and they have to have an understanding in and around those different issues. So, you know, I just think for his football, but in terms of a business decision, you can't ignore, and it is a business, you can't ignore that amount of money. And if it's the difference is a couple of million dollars, then...
But did you turn down bigger offers at any stage of your career?
Yes.
So you
Very, very early on, but... No, I was well looked after by North. I can't complain. But it is an extraordinary amount of money that is being offered to him, and you just can't ignore that amount. So that's what I think. What's pulling? Because my understanding with a few people that sort of know Dusty. My understanding was he was really keen to get it done, and now I think. And it was almost done, Rizzy. And now that the money's gone up on the other side, it's sort of like, oh, well, you know, I do have to sort of, you have to, Swatter.
It's a tough position.
It's a really tough. Really, and you know what? You've got to give him, I'll tell you what you've got to give him. You've got to give him credit to perform with all of this going on, Swatter. Yep. It has been unbelievable. And well done to Richmond as well. And well done to Damien Hardwick, because I think the way they've handled it, the whole thing is difficult. And we saw Paddy Dangerfield do it last year at the Crows. And, you know, and at the end of the day, won their best and fairest and, gave them great service. And Dusty will be doing, he'll do the same for them this year. And let's hope. You know, let's hope maybe a couple of finals wins as well.
It's a significant fork in the road for North Melbourne for them, because if they get Dusty, well, they're looking at keeping Wade, Gibson, Scotty Thompson, and really pushing up or trying to make a finals campaign sooner rather than later. But if they don't get Dusty, then it's almost just a full-on rebuild. I don't think Jared Wade will be there. So they're going to go in two very big different directions. But Roosie's $1.5 million, is it responsible? Can you win a flag paying one player $1.5 million? It's a lot of money.
I think that's the issue. For me, and I understand all the dynamics around the money, et cetera, but if I'm the manager of Dusty, you go out, you get all the information, you know, you get the offers, and if I'm managing Dusty, I'm saying, Dusty, we've got all the information. I'm going to work with Richmond post-football. We're going to work on the ASA.
We'll
going to build up your brand. We'll make it up, mate.
Yep.
We've got a really good, because you're at a good club. You're playing finals. You go to North Melbourne at 1.5. You can't build a team. You can't build a team around him necessarily. So that's why the sacrifice is there. That's why the salary cap is there, to sort of say. And we've seen it with Hawthorn players, Geelong players, Sydney players. I'm sure some of them took less money when Tippett came in, when Buddy came in. So for me, it's a simple decision. And people might disagree. And clearly, I don't think the money's the issue. The issue is, how can we build? Richmond's a, and with all due respect
big
to the
club.
Kangas, Richmond is a way bigger club than the Kangas. Kangas have done a fantastic job. James Brayshaw, Scotty, you know, all those guys. And you guys played for it. But you know, Richmond is a huge football club. They win a premiership with Dustin Martin playing. How much money does that mean to Dustin Martin? So if I'm the manager, I'm saying, well done. We've got all the information. Dusty, here's the Richmond contract. Whack your name on it before the finals.
In a word, if they don't land Dustin Martin at North, does that mean Brad Scott goes elsewhere or stay at North?
Yeah, I reckon he seeks a fresh start.
Duck and Roosey had differing views with regards to the pre-final bye. We put it out to our Triple M family. What's been the response?
Yeah, pretty comprehensive. 71% of our fans say get rid of it. Versus 29% say keep it. So that's of nearly 1,000 voters. Pretty significant. Get rid of it. They're on board with you, Roosie.
Well, I mean, it's not about me or Duck or anything like that, to be honest. I think I mean, I suppose sometimes what frustrates you, the AFL says they take the fans into consideration, but once again, when it suits them, they take it into consideration. So that's, I would have thought if there's surveys that go out, none of which I've ever seen in my life, but the AFL tells us about these surveys that go out, I would have thought that would have been a critical piece of the survey going out, and I think that's a pretty resounding response from the fans, who the AFL always say are, and they are, the most important people in the game.
The AFL hasn't locked that in for next year yet, so they're still reviewing
just,
it.
Just broken the all-time attendance record last night to the AFL, so it's been an amazing season, hasn't it?
And still going, up for grabs with the final game of the round.
So we're not far away from the opening bell. Let's have a listen to Conor McGregor and Floyd Money what Mayweather being introduced to the packed house over in the States for their unbelievable fight.
And now, please welcome to the ring the popular UFC superstar from Dublin, Ireland, the notorious Conor McGregor! And now, here's the popular boxing superstar from Las Vegas, Nevada, Floyd Money!
Flag draped over his shoulders. But Duck, you're the pugilist. You're the man that knows how to hold your hands up and do what these guys do. Describe what Floyd Mayweather came out in just to greet a packed MGM crowd.
Well, he had a ski, like a ski mat.
Looked
like
face balaclava.
Just like he'd just robbed the bank. Mayweather, yeah, he just fully cloaks. What, you could hardly see him. You could see his two eyes and his lips.
Now, I know we all know that you're a fan of boxing. Do you give Conor McGregor any chance whatsoever to inflict the first defeat in Floyd Mayweather's history?
No, I don't. I think Mayweather will win, Schwatter. But in a two-horse race, so to speak, and in a boxing combat sport, anything can happen. But look, Mayweather's skill set is just unbelievable. And you would think that a UFC fighter that can box up against a boxer, I just think Mayweather easily.
Conor McGregor's not lacking any confidence, Duck. He just bounced into that ring with a little bit of swag.
No, they're both fairly confident boys, aren't they?
But interesting mannerisms now, Schwatter. So you got Conor McGregor, he's all serious, got the business face, he's trying to stare down his opponent. Floyd Mayweather, he's smiling, he's joking, he's laughing in there. So the two fighters at the moment just completely sort of different mannerisms.
Well, if you put them both into an octagon, Floyd Mayweather's demeanour would be slightly different.
I don't reckon Floyd had turned up.
I would have thought so. And by the way, just over 100, yeah. Well over 100 mil, I'd be smiling too.
Hey, Roosie, tell us about the time that you're in the company of Mike Tyson when he walked into an arena for a boxing match, I think against Botha.
Yeah, look, it was amazing. It was the year off that I retired, went overseas, lived with Tammy and her family, and I was really fortunate to do some media stuff. And I went around Wimbledon, French Open, Major League Baseball All-Star Game, Super Bowl, Davis Cup, Australia were playing in it, went and saw Gazy playing the Spurs. And by far the only thing that I didn't think we could compete with, MCG Grand Final days, as good a thing as I've ever seen in my life, but by far the thing that we could never compete with was Tyson versus Botha at MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
What do you mean, like the intensity of
it? It was just crazy. It was crazy, the types of people that were there.
Intimidating.
Oh, it was intimidating, yeah. From a young kid from Donvale, I was with Russell Barrett from Triple M, and we stayed for two or three nights before that, and everyone from LA comes out. We walked into the venue, so we came down the lift, we were staying at the MGM Grand, got swept up, didn't realise at the time, got swept up in the red carpet, and I've looked around, and we were actually walking on the red carpet because we're staying in the MGM. I'm standing with Russ. Next thing I know, the Baldwin clan had caught up to us, and we were walking with all the Baldwins, and we were chatting to them and talking to them. Crowd was going nuts. I said to Russ at the time, I said, geez, I knew I was big in Australia, but I didn't realise it was that popular in Vegas, Duck. But they were actually cheering for the Baldwins. So we've walked in, and Russ had to do a last cross to Triple M. I was standing there. Dennis Rodman and Carmen Electra walked past. We walked up, and the people. We got into the stadium, Swatter, and I've always wondered when Tyson was fighting, because most of his fights were really short, how do people react to them? We got in there. The crowd was just electric. When he walked out, we were reasonably close. We had some good tickets, some good media tickets, and it was just scary. He's just the scariest man I've ever seen. And the crowd, when the fight started, was going nuts. At the end of the first round, Tyson tried to break both his arm, and the security guards came from everywhere. It was the fight after he'd bitten Holyfield's ear off. And he knocked him out in the next round of the round after that. I've never been in a crowd like it. I've never seen an event like it.
So the electricity was
the electricity and the people. And, Duck, I know you've spent a lot of time in Vegas. And I've always said to people, even in a fight like this, Mayweather-McGregor, if you can't get a ticket to the fight, still go to Vegas. Mm-hmm. Still go to Vegas and spend a couple of days there.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating start. Mayweather has not thrown a punch yet.
The end of round one has been completed. The big money fight between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. Duck, how did you score it?
Yeah, very very unusual start to this, Schwatter. McGregor would have taken the first round, but purely because he threw more punches. Mayweather coming forward a little bit more in this round, but probably McGregor still at this stage. So McGregor winning the fight at the minute.
Landed a decent uppercut.
He did in the opening round, did Conor McGregor. So we'll come back to that at the end of round two. And let's quickly go around the grounds. The Bombers taking on Fremantle. Clunky.
20 points, halftime. Essendon with Zach Merritt, 2 goals, 20 possessions. Brendan Goddard having a day out with 20 possessions. Also Joey Danaher, 2 goals, 20 points over the Dockers of the Bombers.
Aaron Hamill not far away. What did we make of Gary Ablett, man? How that played out over the course of the half an hour after he was selected, and then he didn't make a fitness test and he didn't play his final game, possibly for the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, absolutely bizarre scenes. He's also sort of seen running away from the media at one stage outside the at the stadium. Schwatter, look, I got no doubt he'll be at Geelong next year. Jimmy Bartel sort of said something very similar at a function this week. It's now just working out the deal, and it's probably a bit of a sad ending, you know, just not being able to play with his hamstring issue. Ruzzi, it'd sort of be hard managed to juggle internally, I'd imagine.
Yeah, look, it is. I mean, we don't know the nature of his injury, and I think they had to put the team in before they trained. I think they were training late. Is that right, Jay-Z?
Yeah, they were training late.
Yeah, there's a bit of stuff unfairly, I thought, about the selection. I mean, if he's going to play, they have to pick him, and then they have to put him through a fitness test, and he didn't pass the fitness test. So I don't think there's anything untoward about that. Yeah, look, I think the sad part is, you know, if it does come to an end, as we think it probably will, yeah, he probably hasn't got enough credit for the amazing player that he's been up there. I think everyone, including us in here, probably focus more around his leadership or supposedly lack thereof. But, yeah, I think we need to also be clear that as a player for them, he's been an incredible player. He's just missed a lot of games through injuries, which has probably tarnished his time up there. But that's not something he can naturally control.
How did you score round two, Duck?
Oh, look, it's you know what, Mayweather, it's like Mayweather's just having fun out there, Schwatter. Sat there in the corner before, smiling, not even wanting a drink. He's just, it's almost like he's playing, but playing with McGregor. It's weird fight.
Is it weird? Is it because McGregor's sort of being such a weird fight that it's hard for Mayweather to read? You know, it's not a normal boxing match.
It's not normal in any way, actually. It's not a great spectacle, to be honest.
All right, we'll go downstairs and welcome Matty Thompson for the first time today. Thanks to Bob Jane T-Mart, and he has the former Saint star himself and the blue. That is Aaron Hamill. Matty, welcome to you.
Good afternoon, Schwatter, and the weather is clear here at the MCG right now. That's good news, Aaron Hamill. Welcome to Triple M Footy. Can I ask you, first up, is it going to be an emotional day, do you think?
Oh, I think look, we just went through it then. Richo touched on Nick, and there's a few older players that Nick played with in the rooms. Hopefully it's business as usual for the boys, but it's like any milestone game. It's you'd like to use any advantage that you can get. And a few of the younger boys, it was good to see some of Nick's highlights, and a few of them spoke. So it's good that the guys can recognise it, but we'd like to think you don't need to emotionally get yourself up for a milestone, but you know, Nick's been an outstanding sort of ambassador for football alone, let alone the St Kilda Footy Club. So it was pleasing to see.
Take us inside the rooms then, if you can, right now. What's going on in there at the moment? As you say, Richo's just addressed the troops. Did you actually play some videos, did you?
Oh, there was a little highlight reel about Nick. I don't think that's out of the ordinary. And I think it was really pleasing for the younger kids to see, you know, some older footage and really how quick time... really you've only got a lease in the jumper and away you go. So Nick's been fortunate enough to play for a solid 16 years. And I guess underlying that, that was a clear message of how do you want to be remembered in Nick's final game. So, look, we think we're prepared well and we'll wait and see.
Aaron, from your point of view, how do you see Nick? I mean, obviously you played with him and now back coaching with him. So tell us about the evolution of Nick Reward, what he was like as a kid, and through your eyes, what did you see of him?
Yeah, Rizzi, I came to the football club and he came to the club when Malcolm Blight took over. But I guess the first thing you sort of learn with Nick walking into the club is that he wasn't interested in just being the number one draft pick. He's a product of hard work and what you see is basically that, just hard work, and he grinds it out so often and so frequently in terms of what he puts his body through. I guess his leadership is certainly he leads with actions. You know, he can be quite challenging. With the Grant Thomas era, I was really fortunate enough to play with some legends of St Kilda Footy Club, for the Carlton Footy Club. So coming over, it was an experience coming over and then realising how much actually hard work we've got to do, not only to turn the footy club around, but be really successful. And Nick, he drove the young group at such a young age. You know, I'd speak about Kaczynski and Clark and Ball and Goddard when he came in. So it was, it's really pleasing. And then coaching Nick, he's the type of guy, if you're not challenging him and making him uncomfortable, he's not at ease with that. So he's always looking to get better. 2 years, 3 years ago, he stepped aside out of the forward line so we could get Membry, Bruce, McCartan to grow up into the midfield. And he wanted to get better in that area. So, still to this day, he enjoys getting up and roaming around. But, Rizzi's been he's an outstanding person and he's been terrific for St Kilda Footy Club.
Yeah, it is. I think, Aaron, you mentioned he's a great person. I'm fortunate to run into him every now and then around the corner, have a coffee with him, great family, and just the correlation between being an outstanding individual and an outstanding footballer. I think we all... fortunate to be here today to watch his last game. And I say that probably, the next question is a follow-up. It is an unusual game for you guys, isn't it? There's sort of a little bit of a chance, but it's a fair way off. I don't know, but Jay-Z, I'm not smart enough. Yeah.
You need
academic,
Essendon and also West Coast to lose.
And a big win. But so it is an unusual game. Tell us how you've, as a coaching group, how you've tackled the game. Obviously, there's a Nick Reward factor, we've talked about it,
yep.
But take that aside now, mate, and talk about the preparation for the game.
Yeah, well, look, Richo addressed it, because it's on players' minds. Clearly we don't want any blokes checking their phones or anything, but regardless of the result, there's still a heap. We haven't been outstanding in every aspect of the game, clearly, this year, so there's a heap of growth in us, and that's all what we want to do. We want to be able to compete and improve, and regardless of sort of what's on the line in terms of finals, we've got, a heap to play for, Rizzi. We certainly, we want to be known as an every-time player and every-time club. So it's regardless of the result, we'd like to think we'd perform that way. But certainly, I'm sure it's in some boys' minds that keeping close eye on the Essendon Freo game. But you'd like to think by now we're certainly well and truly switched on.
Great to have Aaron Hamill in the lead-up to the Saints game against the Tigers today, talking with Jay Clark.
Aaron, it's hard to talk to any of my St Kilda mates without goal-kicking coming up. Can you give us an insight into sort of how frustrating that's been from a coaching group and how you might look to change your program at all potentially over pre-season to try and improve that?
Yeah, we think it's a pre-season I guess obstacle, if you like to call it. We've done a fair bit of work. Benny McGlynn's joined us this year and brought a little bit from the Sydney component of it, and we've spoken to other experts in that field. So clearly, from a mindset point of view, it's contagious, and it has been contagious. I mean, Jack Billings is going at just over 35% in front of goal, and he's an elite kick.
It's a beautiful kick, yeah.
You see it in his field kicking. So we got some issues that we need to address, and that's one of them. And we'll have a look at that whenever that time may be, Jay. But we're certainly well aware of it internally as well as externally.
Well, it's a big game. A win today, a couple of results go your way, you may just work your way into the finals. And of course, Nick Rewalt potentially playing his last game. Sammy, appreciate you joining us. Good luck today.
Thanks, boys.
Oh, it's a strange fight over at MGM Grand. Mayweather McGregor. End of round 5, I think it might be. We might get our resident pugilist
just to give his scorecard. Good luck with this, Duck. Who have you got in front?
Yeah, pretty even, I reckon. I reckon McGregor got the first couple of rounds, an even round, and Mayweather's now just stepping it up a little bit, Schwatter. But Mayweather now taking the fight to McGregor.
Yep. All right. We've got a game of footy here. It's Richmond, who they win today. They will lock down third place at the end of the home and away, and they will take on the Cats. So the Tigers would take on the Cats. Of course, they've got to get over St Kilda. And we've got a former Cat now, a Tiger, Roosie, and he's in the box. He's coming back from a hamstring injury, and he's enjoying the McGregor and Mayweather fight. And that's Josh Caddy. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
The bye for you next week, probably not a bad thing, but overall, where do you sit with the pre-final bye?
Yeah, personally, I'd prefer the more traditional way that it's been for most of the time, with just keep rolling into finals, and then therefore the team that wins that first final sort of gets an advantage of a week off after that. But you know, we don't have any say in it, and it is what it is. So I'd still much prefer to finish top four and still win the first final, but yeah, if I had a choice, I'd probably just rather keep rolling into the finals.
So before we get on, Josh, to this game, which is obviously important, what do you think Geelong learnt from winning last year, having the following week off? Because as you said, it's here, so you've got to deal with it.
Yeah.
What do you think you learn as a player and Geelong Footy Club would have learnt from that?
Yeah, it's a tough question. I mean, it was so unknown last year. Without that limited footy over that sort of period, you just sort of, you know, one rest is nice to have, you know, give the body a rest, but I suppose you just got to find a way to keep keep on your toes and just keep that, somehow try to simulate that match intensity, which I think we did try to last year tried to do at Geelong, but you just sort of can't simulate that, you know, like a prelim final is going to be. So I'm not too sure what the answer is, and obviously not at Geelong anymore, so I don't have to worry about them too much. Hopefully I do it wrong.
Yeah.
That's where the coaches and fitness staff, I suppose, have to come up with something as best they can to try and get all the players in the right frame of mind and physical, frame to perform in a prelim.
So we were touching on it. We were speculating about the preparation for Richmond during the week and what Dimmer would be going through. Obviously, and I tend to agree with Duck, I mean, it is a final. The stakes are pretty high today. You win your third. You're playing a home final against Geelong virtually at the MCG by all accounts. So take us through the week. And obviously you've got some young players as well going into the and your role in that, even though you're injured, coach's role, senior players, Rance, Cochin, Martin, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, you're right. Basically, it is. It's a final to get into the top four. And for us as a club, I'm not too sure the last time we finished in the top four as a club. So this is massive for us to give ourselves the double chance to finish now, based on the results, to finish third and play Geelong at the G is a huge win. So we've got everything to play for, but at the same time, so does St Kilda. There's still a chance to make the finals, and I'm sure once their boys run out, they won't know whether or not they can, but they'll be playing to try and make the finals. And then you've got Nick Riewoldt, obviously one of the greats of all time and a St Kilda immortal, playing his last game. So it's a huge game. It's a finals-like atmosphere, and it's a massive game. But, yeah, with that week off, we've got to come out all guns blazing. No, we do have it's reality. We've got next week off, so it's not like we'll be taking it easier, thinking we need to save ourselves for finals. We've got everything to play for, so it's a massive game.
Was it obvious to you when you got to the footy club that Richmond were trying to change what they had done the previous year, given that it was obviously your first pre-season, but they just changed the way they played? I mean, you obviously played against them last year and the way they tried to play. So was it obvious to you when you got to the club that they were sort of throwing that out and starting afresh?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it was a little bit easier in terms of that Blake Carousella came across and sort of did bring a lot of ideas along with him. And, you know, being at Geelong for 8 years or however long he was there, some of the stuff that the Richmond guys were learning for the first time and speaking about for the first time was things I'd been used to. And so in terms of that, that sort of made the transition a little bit easier and smoother. But
can you give us an example, Josh? Like just something, even in general terms, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, for example, tackling and sort of contest the ball, it was something that Geelong over the past few years had sort of gone away from. And then last year really prided ourselves on that, becoming more of a contested team again. And that was something that Richmond, I think, were the worst tackling team in the competition last year and the worst pressure team almost and high disposal team, but not so much a sort of meters gain team. And,
impact.
Things like that. And little nuances in terms of forward structure and things like that, which obviously I would like me going too deep into, but...
We can.
Yeah. I know Ruse is still very close to the guys up at Sydney, so I don't want to give too much away. In a way, that was a little bit easier for me to adapt to. But, definitely to answer Duck's question, as soon as I walked in, we sort of wiped the slate clean as a club. Got not only on field, but also off field, sort of tried to change the way we just sort of went about things and tried to, after a really disappointing year, it's easy to come back with that negative attitude and dwell on that. But we just wanted to wipe the slate clean and say, hey, let's try a few new things. And luckily it's come off for us. And that's what's led to us being in the position that we are. And hopefully with the win today, to finish third on the ladder, coming from 14th last year is a special effort. And at worst six, still isn't a bad effort, but we're definitely running out there today to try and get that third spot.
But what surprised you about Richmond? I often find when you're at another club, you're at Geelong, you know a bit about Richmond and Sydney and Melbourne and whoever, but it's great when you come to a club because you find out about the players and individuals. And what surprised you, and who are the players that you've gone, geez, a bit better than what I thought he was, what have you?
Yeah, exactly that. Coming from a club that's been, had sustained success over a long period of time and strives for excellence every year, you sort of question, and I'll be honest, I question whether, Richmond still had that same sort of mentality and mindset. But as soon as I walked in the doors, it was, we've got just the same, sort of philosophy in terms of that we want success and all the players want success and work just as hard as the players do at Geelong. And for whatever reason, it hasn't worked as well. And personnel or whatever it is over the recent history, but the mentality and want and desire for Richmond to succeed is just the same as Geelong, and that probably did surprise me a little bit based on the success that Richmond has had. But I've loved this year. I think it's been a pretty special year for us, but we know that we've still got a long way to go, and in terms of getting to that final peak that we're aiming to get to, that all clubs in the eight are aiming to get to. And I mean, it was inspiring last year watching the Bulldogs. It proves that anything's possible. So that's the mindset we've got at the moment.
Congratulations to you on your year, Josh. I think as a forward, I know you sort of came as a midfielder and we spoke about that, but your importance as a forward too has been clear for Richmond, because you probably don't have that real second big guy to help out with Jack. But do you reckon you've got enough, whether it's confidence or ability, to sort of go the whole way? I mean, no one really wants to enter September and be a bit part player. Do you think, Richmond fans, do you think you're capable of competing with the absolute premiership heavyweights for the grand prize?
Well, yeah, we do. Our record against top eight teams is, I think we're 4-4, and there's, I think, only Adelaide and Geelong that are better than us in terms of that. So we've definitely got the belief. And like I said, the Bulldogs last year inspired everyone and just showed that anything is possible. Just with that belief. And I mean, we've been in games this year where we've been down. I know everyone talks about the Freo game and the GWS game where we lost, but there's also been games where we've been down against good teams at various stages, even as late as three-quarter time, and come back and won and showed that real resilience and belief and fight and, won some really good games. And I think that's where young players, and even me at 24, that's where you build that confidence and belief. We're not here to make up the numbers, that's for sure. We want to have a good crack at it.
Unbelievably consistent year, and I think it is. It's too much probably emphasis when at Richmond. And it's funny, I found the same thing at Melbourne, probably got criticised a bit, that negativity. But it surprises me when Richmond loses a game that Sydney could lose, Richmond get criticised.
Yeah.
But I've admired you all year. I think the consistency around the way you played, and Duck and I have spoken about, done a number of your games live. Your consistency's been amazing. Mm. The consistency of game plan, you now know what you get. You go watch Richmond play, you're really confident in what you can get. Is there a point sort of during the season, coming from somewhere else, you thought, gee, this could really work? This what we're doing now, this could be pretty special.
Yeah. Well, it was probably as early as the Melbourne game was that round three, I think it was, against West Coast, we were sort of down all day. And at the time, they were considered a really strong premiership contender for this year. And, coming on off the back of, we'd played Carlton and Collingwood in the first two games and sort of didn't know where we sat, and still very early in the year. And then West Coast come over, and I know it's been well documented, they battle here at the G, but we were down for most of that game and came back and won that. And then the next week or a couple of weeks later, same against Melbourne, we were down for most of the game, three-quarter time. And that was when I sort of thought, well, we really have got a strong and resilient group of players here. And then probably the Port Adelaide game a bit later in the year, probably about the midway point of the year, we weren't playing great at Adelaide Oval, a pretty hostile crowd, and as I said, weren't playing great and came back and ended up winning that game fairly comfortably. And that's when I thought, and at the time as well, Port was sitting, I think, in the four. That was when I sort of thought, we're really a chance this year, and we've got the right, like you said, we've got the right game style. We turn up every week. There's been a couple of the first half, obviously, against the Saints last time, and Adelaide as well early in the year were really disappointing. But aside from those two games, we've been really consistent in our game plan and our effort, and we know that if we show up with that, which we do, anything's possible.
Josh, you have butterflies in your tummy. Geelong in a fortnight time here at the MCG is just the way the world works sometimes. Will there be a bit of extra emotion there for you?
Oh,
coming well, against the old boys.
I mean, I was only out there for 20 minutes the other week, but it's good to get the first game against your old club out of the way. It didn't work out as we would have liked, but although they had a few key players missing, we learned a lot out of that game, and obviously it is tough. I mean, I didn't realise when I was at Geelong how tough it is to go and down there and win, and then I looked back and I thought, well, yeah, I didn't really ever lose there. So I know Roosie's, probably the one I do remember was the Melbourne game when they got us, but we learned a lot out of that game, and I think, I'm assuming it's going to be at the MCG. I'd like to hope so. If we get them out here in a couple of weeks' time, I think it'll just be an awesome game. It'll be the only final, I think, in Melbourne almost. First week of finals, it'll be a huge crowd, and yeah, it'll be a bit funny playing against the old side, but I think it'll just be great for footy, and we'd love that for that to be the case.
I think when you look at the Tigers this year and when you look at the Bulldogs last year, you looked at their list and you said nearly every player to a man had their career best seasons. You look at the Tigers this year and I reckon everyone has been better or at least equaled what they've done before. Dusty's gone to a whole new level. Yeah. I reckon Cochin's a better captain now. Rance does what Rance does. But and all of these young guys, they're all having career best seasons. So, when you've got that and everyone's doing that together, you can win big finals.
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, in terms of probably individual output and stats, and I know we get really carried away these days with stats because we've got every sort of stat at our disposal, but apart from probably Dusty, I think a lot of players probably haven't had statistically their best years, but there's just been a much more...
There's no reliance on anyone.
There's been a much more even contribution, and even the style. I mean, you can have 30 touches, but if you don't really damage the opposition... And Koch is probably a great example of that. He's probably down a little bit in terms of his the amount of footy he gets, but the way that he's playing and the leadership he's shown in big moments during the year, yeah, no doubt, he's had a massive year and been a massive reason as to why... And he's not the only example. There's other ones too. I don't... Like, Jack's kicked heaps more goals in previous years, but... Mm. The leadership he's shown and the way that he's helped develop Jason Castagna and Dan Butler and Daniel Rioli and guys like that has been huge this year, and that's where our improvements come from. So I just think it's as a team we've gotten better as a team this year.
When we want a player from the Tigers, we want this man back. He's been very generous with his time. Appreciate you coming in, Josh. Good luck with the recovery, and we hope to see you back in a couple of weeks with the Tigers, getting over St Kilda today, taking on your old club, the Cats.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for having me.
Don't forget, there's a Josh good book Caddy. For Father's Day too. He can get his dad.
Well, you've got to sign it.
No, his dad's an old Fitzroy supporter.
Yeah, he is.
That right?
He loves it.
Good present for Father's Day.
Really? No, he is. What's it called, Roosie?
Paul Roos, here it is. He'll love it.
He will. He will love
that. Josh Caddy. Time for this.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Fascinating game yesterday at the MCG, fellas, with Collingwood prevailing over Melbourne. There's two ways to look at this. Essentially, I think we talked about this 6 weeks ago, and I think we all sort of felt like Nathan Buckley was in a lot of trouble. But the consistency and I think the effort the Collingwood boys have shown are really gone away in Nathan Buckley's favour, and I think it's at a point now where we're all safely expecting him to be reappointed for another 2 years, and it has to be 2 years, not a single season, so we don't have to go through the same contract sort of circus that we went through this year. So it was a very, I think, admirable performance, fellas, from Collingwood yesterday, given they had bit part VFL side, really. So we're expecting some bigger changes in the recruiting department and in the assistant coaching staff. Scotty Burns, potentially one who's going to Hawthorn, but a tick for Nathan Buckley. On the other side of the coin, Roosey, it was a young Melbourne side who looked like they froze in the headlights. There's been a lot of questions about whether this Melbourne team can handle the occasion, can handle the expectation at this stage. And I think after yesterday, possibly they can't. What was your take?
Look, I think it's just consistent with a Melbourne team. We're seeing St Kilda out here today that if they win, we'll get 12 wins. It's just consistent. I think going into the season, Melbourne knew, Simon Goodwin knew, they're still a young team, which they are. That's just a fact. It's not an excuse.
But to not tackle in the first 11 minutes.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't see much of the game. What I'm saying is that the season in its totality, you know, I try not to get on the weekly cycle of you know, they didn't play well in this big game or what have you. What you're trying to do is get a consistent brand of football, and that's what we talked to Josh Caddy before about what they've been able to achieve. And I didn't subscribe when Richmond didn't win. Oh, it's the same old Richmond. No, it's not.
Yep.
You watch the team. This is not the same Melbourne team that existed last year, the year before, and certainly not before that. But they're still young. They're still learning about expectation, learning about the length of the season, you know, how long the season is. Some players look really, really tired, still understanding their game style, becoming habits, you know. Look, if they make the finals, the week off next week will help them. They will come out, I'm really confident,
refresh,
if they do make the finals, that they'll come out and acquit themselves very, very well in the finals. But it's, look, it is just part of their learning curve. They've had a fantastic season. As a Melbourne person, I hope they make finals, and I'll certainly be barracking for the Crows this afternoon. But nevertheless, they've taken another step forward, and there's a lot to look forward to for the Melbourne fans.
Your good mate, Ross Lyon, as a Fremantle coach, has faced a lot of question marks this week. In fact, he probably hasn't faced too much heat in his time at Fremantle, but that's sort of been turned up in the past fortnight after back-to-back 100-point thrashings. Is he still the man for Fremantle? Do you feel as if his position at all is becoming vulnerable over there?
Not at all. I don't think so. I mean, I think if you look at North Melbourne, North Melbourne won 9 games and lost 0 at the start of last year and have won. But everyone says what a great job that Scotty's doing. And I don't disagree with that. So I think it's how you put your lens on in the media and how you look at people. You know, their record, they were poor last year. They're rebuilding. Their record's been better this year. Like a lot of teams in the last couple of weeks, we saw Carlton get belted last night. We saw the Suns get belted. You know, when you're playing teams in the, you know, the top pointy end, as Richmond are, it just happens. And there is a tipping point. I think Ross is always very honest at his press conference. There is a tipping point.
With the kids.
It's the kids. It's whether we like it or not, there's a point where if you put too many in, they get too tired, if you have too many injuries. And, look, he's absolutely the right person for the job. He just needs to strategise now around recruiting and who they bring into the football club and keep maintaining high standards as a coach.
All Australian team is always a fascinating debate, Duck, and there's some chance that there may not be a team captain in the team, potentially other than Josh Kennedy. Sydney's Josh Kennedy would probably be the shortest price favourite. At the moment, we've spoken about Trent Cotchin also. Who would be... Trent Cotchin.
Right.
There could be a situation where he's the only team captain. Just being mischievous, Schwatter. Who would be, if you're picking the All-Australian captain, Duck, who is it for you?
It's a good question. If there's not a captain in there, then I would probably go to maybe, you know, who you consider the best player in the team.
Paddy Dangerfield?
Yeah, maybe a Paddy Dangerfield. Maybe a Buddy. You know, has Buddy ever been in a leadership group? He's not, but he's been in the All-Australian. I think it'll be his sixth time or maybe seventh time All-Australian. So I think it'll be a great honour for someone like Buddy or a Dusty or a Danger, probably a Dangerfield, given that he was last year's Brownlow medalist. He will be most certainly All-Australian this year. I'd probably go Danger. But Selwood's still a chance of being in that
16
team.
16 games, it's a really grey area. I mean,
it is. Ablett, I think Ablett got in 1 year of playing at 15, I think it was. Might have even been 14.
Well, should he be in, Joel Selwood, in the team?
It's a good question. I would have him in mind, but I'm a unashamed fan.
Is Josh Kennedy the man to lead the All-Australian team? Would he be in your side, Roosie?
Yeah, he'd be in my side. I think he was a constant when it was 0-6. He was the guy all year flying the flag. Not for his injuries where he missed 2 or 3 weeks. He's still going to be their probably best and fairest winner, second or third. I think if there's a captain, and I agree with Duck, if there's a captain in there, then the captain of the All-Australian side is that captain. If there's no captain in there, then I think Dangerfield and Daylight.
All right, nicely done, Jay-Z. It's over. It's over in Vegas, the MGM Grand. Let's have a listen to the final few seconds between the fight between McGregor and Mayweather.
Time here. Now he's got him in the corner. Now he's a sitting duck. McGregor hit with a right hand and he tries to survive. He is loose. On wobbly legs. He's about to go. Floyd Mayweather has McGregor on the run. A sharp left hook, another hook, and it's over. Robert Berg says it's over. Waves it off. McGregor was hurt on wobbly legs. He might be slightly...
Yeah, it was comprehensive in the end, Dark. Mayweather, TKO, got the job done against Conor McGregor, and the money train just puts a lazy $200 million in the bank balance.
Looked like he was enjoying himself too later in the round. You're right, McGregor just, in the end, looked really, really tired. Mm. And we know that in his sport, they're 5-minute rounds, and you do probably tend to get more of a rest, because especially when you're in the wrestling, not that that's a rest, but, you know, that's constant, and that's exactly how Mayweather fights. He just is a slow start and then build into it, and in the end did it easy.
I'm surprised that McGregor didn't seem to have the ring fitness. You know, that he didn't last the 12 rounds, because I've been just following his training, and his training's been unbelievable, so I'm surprised.
It shows you that there are different levels of fitness for different sports.
Jay-Z going with ring fitness.
Ring
off
fitness.
The back of one.
He's an ex-boxer, Jay-Z.
One amateur fight is not an ex-boxer.
Let's be really
it
clear
was an
on his background.
Doubt, Roosie.
There was 3 rounds, 2 minutes each, and I was gassed.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.